Let's talk now about the NPA. They've been pronouncing on a whole range of issues, the National Prosecuting Authority, and they're a very important tool, if I can say that, in implementing the rule of law that we so covet in our country, isn't it? So they, I understand, the NPA, they've spoke today about this, which is companies involved in corruption in South Africa can now opt for alternative dispute resolution with law enforcement to avoid criminal charges. What that really means, I don't know. Someone suggested, are you talking about a get-out-of-jail card free or at a price? Either way, we're going to find out with Advocate Omar Rabaji Rasetama, the Deputy National Director of Public Prosecutions at the Asset Forfeiture Unit on the line here. Good chatting to you, Advocate Rabaji Rasetama. Thanks for joining us. You are certainly connected to the National Pulse.
Thank you very much to you and to your listeners. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So help us understand this issue about, you know, dispute resolution and a way to agree on that versus what was the norm before when there's a dispute around issues, around corruption, especially with regard to big businesses.
Thank you very much for that question. First, as South Africa were a signatory to your Vienna Convention, to UNCAC, to fighting corruption, to UNODC, OCDE, in terms of adopting what we call non-trial resolution, right? So when you're faced with grand-scale corruption like we did, and so has many other countries, you need to have a toolkit, mechanisms within which to fight illicit financial flows and or corruption and or bribes. So it's an international obligation. So legally, we need to have a mechanism in terms of how quickly can we fight corruption? What does it entail? A company comes forward, self-report to NPA and says, look, I have discovered that my employees, let's take the case of SAP Global, which is a software company, the headquarters in Germany, which we did an ADRM with in January. They did an investigation and said, and came forward to NPA and said, we've just had our employees were involved with grand-scale corruption. They paid bribe to get government contracts. So we're here to self-report. We've put in a compliance program. We've gotten rid of all those employees. And therefore, we are disgorging. We're paying back the money from the tainted contract. But not only that, we are paying a penalty. So it's increased accountability. But not only do they do that, what they also do is they hand over all the evidence that they have gathered in the course of their investigation so that we can prosecute wrongdoers.
So, are you saying at its core, when a company organization is guilty of corruption, that you would effectively make a deal with them where they would hand over all the evidence, then they would pay you a fine and other punitive measures, but that will allow you to receive all the evidence to maybe have further prosecutions, I don't know, but the very important one here is none of the key decision makers within that organization that committed corruption will actually go to jail.
So first, they don't pay NPA. They don't pay us. The money is paid into a criminal asset recovery account, which is held in treasury. So no money gets paid to NPA. It's all about increasing accountability. It's all about transparency. It's all about public-private partnership in terms of fighting crime.
Okay, we get that, but the number of the question is, it is an alternative to prevent them from going to prison, right?
So, you know, let me quote Stephen Van Coller, one of our CEOs in our corporate. You might have seen his interview, I think it was on Sunday Times 3 weeks ago, where he said, companies are not corrupt. It's the individuals. It's people in the company that are corrupt. So, what is a company? It's an entity. It's got assets and liabilities. It's got people in it. And it's the people that have committed wrong and they are going to be prosecuted. So let's call it fast track mechanism to prosecution, because you've got somebody who's done wrong saying, look, this is what I found in my company.
So you call it fast track prosecution. Would that person, to just pick up on what you said, would the company and the company brand name, would the company be convicted? Would the person be convicted? Would nobody be convicted?
It will be the actual wrongdoer, the person. It will be the person convicted. The company acknowledges wrong on behalf of the entity and pay the tainted contract back to whatever organization that is, in this case, there was DWS, there was Transnet, there was Eskom, there was Prasa. They pay back the money back to that organization, and then the penalty part of it goes to the criminal asset recovery account held in treasury.
I mean, understand. Look, I've certainly heard about, bargains being made in court, outside of court, on a whole range of issues, right? Not just now. But do I get that this position that you've taken now, is this a new position in dealing with corruption for big business? And if it's a new position, then what was the existing position up to now?
So the existing position is that you would have, you would charge the company A Pty Limited as, let's say, one of their accused before court, and you charge the wrongdoers. Now, what you're going to end up with is the people doing jail time and a small little slip, a small fine. So it's always existed. Now, I think we are improving. We're improving on that position, because now there's reparation, a penalty that's been paid. It's a step up. It's an improvement on what has always existed in law.
Okay. Now, we know that corruption, especially grand corruption, is such a big issue. It's brought this country to its knees, and therefore it's impacted on every one of us, right? Isn't the alternative that this person who's acting as the leader of the company, so effectively on behalf of the company, but I understand in terms of law you charge the person, you know, why would a get-out-of-jail card, not for free, at a price, be a greater deterrent than actually prison time?
Prison time is going to happen for, well, depending on the sentence that's meted out. Obviously, it will be done by the judiciary, so it is going to happen. But why would you, except for prison time for the individuals, the accused persons before court, you can't set the entire company. The company is an entity. It consists of assets and liabilities and people. So it's better to get disgorgement from the company. Let them pay back the tainted money or the contract price, and then get the actual individuals. Because remember, you must prove beyond reasonable doubt that Mr. A did the following.
So you're saying once you get the money back, in fact, then that company does not benefit from any corrupt deals, and therefore their so-called benefit falls away. So they've come down to where they were before, and that's what you're hoping for,
that,
right?
That's what I'm saying. And not only that, one of the conditions in our directives to prosecutors is that the company must show that they're going to come up with a very strict compliance program to prevent corruption from happening again.
I take it you've canvassed this with prosecutors, you've canvassed this with other legal experts in the legal fraternity, human rights issues, and you've got support from them or not?
We've got, as I've said, this is part of international obligations. So as a country, we must be part of the growing legal reform internationally, yes. And then we were supported by the University of Cape Town. We had researchers from the University of Anti-Corruption in Vienna. Today we presented to the media, we presented about this to Parliament. We've also discussed this with the prosecutors countrywide. in the organization, and yes, the minister is aware of it, and that's how we're proceeding. And the president, of course, who we give a report quarterly on how we're fighting.
Now, finally, as we talk, I'm expecting some members of our nationwide audience to be rather sceptical about what they've just heard. How would you allay their fears in 30 seconds to say, actually, this position, this bargain around dispute resolution, the agreement, is the way to go? What would you tell them? You've got 30 seconds.
I'll tell them that South Africa, in fact, has been lagging behind in terms of how we've been fighting corruption. So we've caught up with the rest of the world. I mean, the USA did their first non-child resolution or corporate ADRM in 2008 with Germany in the Siemens case. So we have been lagging behind as far as international mechanisms of fighting crime and corruption are concerned.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, there's a criteria. So there are 10 things we look at. We look at the pervasiveness of the crime in that company. We look at whether they're a serial offender. We look at whether if you really say you want to close down this company, what about the employment of people? So you take into account public interest. So it's a balancing act. That's why it's a public-private partnership. But as I've said, the actual wrongdoers are going to be prosecuted.
Well, this is a fascinating discussion, certainly worthy of a fireside chat over the weekend, I'm sure. Thank you for your time, Advocate Omar Rabaji Rasetama, the Deputy National Director of Public Prosecutions Asset Forfeiture Unit.